Welcome to Spirits on Spirits, a podcast where we mix ghost stories with a little liquid courage. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Nate.
And together we'll dive into the eerie, the unexplained, and the downright terrifying, all while enjoying a drink or two. Each episode we'll explore haunted places, ghostly encounters, and paranormal mysteries, pairing them with the perfect cocktail to keep our nerves steady. So grab a glass, turn down the lights, and join us as we sip, shiver, and swap some spine-chilling stories. Because here at Spirits on Spirits, the only thing stronger than the ghosts are our drinks.
What up, Ghost Malones?
We're definitely going to get copyrighted on that
Yeah,
one.
We are going
to get copyrighted. That was so good, dude.
That was so good. We're so good. What up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Spirits on Spirits. How you doing? How you doing?
Dude, I'm already a little... So, we are recording multiple episodes in one go here.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is our second episode that we've recorded tonight. So, I'm already feeling a little bit...
Ooh!
A little bit tipsy.
A little bit tipsy.
So...
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, so we're going into this one already feeling it a little bit, so we'll see how it goes.
That's exciting stuff. How are we doing this evening, Aiden?
We are 2 days away from Halloween.
2 days away.
So, the spooky vibes are out.
Spooky vibes are high. If you didn't listen to our Halloween episode, go back and listen. It was a good one. It was a fun one.
Yep.
Very festive.
Yep.
Yep.
And it's special. It isn't just one place. It's two places.
Yeah.
Two cocktails.
Two cocks. Nope. Pause.
I mean, technically, yeah.
Pause-a-rooney on that one.
Technically, you're not wrong.
Oh, man.
But also, we introduced an exciting little thing.
Device, yes.
Device.
The drink-a-doodle-doo device.
That, as of right now, is only in that episode. Mm-hmm. But if you guys want more of it, then just let us know.
Say the
word.
And
we will incorporate more.
I enjoyed it.
I'm sure you did.
I did.
So, today, we are traveling to Nashville,
Tennessee,
and the drink that I will be drinking today is the Tennessee Mule.
Ooh.
It's like a...
Ooh, that sounds really good.
It's like a little twist on the Moscow Mule.
Nice.
So, we got... Tennessee whiskey.
Ooh. Tennessee
whiskey. You're as sweet. A strawberry wine. Tennessee whiskey. Lime juice. And ginger beer.
Ooh.
And a little lime slice garnish.
That sounds real dandy.
Tis.
I'm curious to see how it's going to taste.
Tis Dundee.
Yeah.
Well, let's do a little cheers.
Cheers. Good cheers.
A lot of ginger beer.
Yeah. Did you put too much in?
I didn't even fill the cup up halfway.
But did you read out the proportions?
I did approximate.
So that means no.
So, yeah. Cool. Take that as you will.
Ginger beer is really strong.
It's so strong. It takes over the whole flavor.
The whole flavor.
So
maybe the second one, maybe you follow the proportions.
Yeah, I'll do that.
So you can give an accurate description. Because I think it's fun. I think giving people the actual flavor profile is good. But
yeah, a lot of ginger beer.
Is it too strong? Is it unenjoyable?
No. I don't mind ginger beer either. It's just a lot of ginger.
Yeah, that's fair.
A lot of ginge.
A lot of ginge in that shit. I had a ginge up in my junk. That was weird.
So, today.
Yeah.
I will be traveling to the Hermitage.
Hermitage.
The Hermitage.
Hermitage.
The Hermitage.
What is the Hermitage?
So.
Excuse me. That was very unprofessional.
You are excused.
Yes.
So, the Hermitage began humbly. in 1804, Andrew...
Well, first off, what the fuck is it? Is it a house?
You'll find
is
out.
Is it a building?
You'll find out.
Okay. Well, I feel like this is a lot
Let
of...
Let the storytelling commence.
All right. I'll just shut the fuck up.
God, yeah, please do.
Stick a finger up my ass.
Do both of those things.
Well, I'm not gonna. This is a profession. This is a work environment. HR is gonna be all over me, dude.
Yeah. We have HR.
We do. It's Wallace.
Wallace is my dog, for those of you who don't know. So the Hermitage began humbly. In 1804, Andrew Jackson.
Oh. Then, Mr. Jackson.
Then a rugged frontier lawyer and rising military hero.
Whoa.
Purchased a 425 acre.
Is he Trail of Tears?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the $20 bill.
And the $20 bill.
Yeah. Got a couple of Jacksons for you.
Probably shouldn't be.
No, yeah, that's fair.
We try not to get too political on this show, no, but yeah, I feel like he should not probably be on
hot take. Bill.
There are more qualified people for the $20 bill. But
quick,
he purchased...
who would you put on the $20 bill? Anyone in American history is fair game. Go.
Let's see. Mr. Rogers?
Oh, from Roger...
The guy from Blue's Clues?
Oh, Steve.
Steve.
I was thinking Ken Bone. Ken Bone on the 20 would be.
Who's Ken Bone?
Remember the guy that wore the red polo during like the political debate thing?
No.
It was like had the mustache.
I don't remember.
You
that.
Remember Ken Bone. Google Ken Bone. Who's another one? Chef Boyardee.
Ooh, good one.
Yep. Ken Bone was because you'd be like, all right, give me a couple bones. And like you could like, yeah. Hmm. Chef Boyardee.
Chef Boyardee's nuts.
Yeah. I don't know. Who else would be good on the $20 bill? Neil Patrick Harris.
He's actually a really good one.
He'd be a good one on the $20
Barney
bill.
Barney Stinson.
Yep. He'd be a good one on the $20 bill. Who else would be good on the $20 bill?
I don't know. Because like the first thing that came to mind was Tom Hanks. But he's had a few... controversies
really?
Recently. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
With the, you know, the, again, political stuff. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
So no hanky on the.
No yeah, hanky, no. Probably on the 20. No hanky until we find out more information on hanky.
Got you. What else? Who else could be on the 20? The Wendy's girl.
Fair. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. The Hamburglar.
Dude, Ronald McDonald
on a 20.
Hell yeah!
I'd spend those.
I'd hang one up on my wall.
Yeah, that's fair.
A $20 poster.
Yeah. So, all right, I feel like we've brainstormed that enough.
More will come to me, but...
Well, okay, all right.
For now, we've crossed that bridge.
Yep.
So, he purchased a four... Back to Andrew Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
He purchased a 425-acre farm and
that's
moved...
That's a lot of acres.
It's a lot of acres. And he moved into a log block house with his wife, Rachel. Very, like, modern-feeling name to
yeah,
me.
Rachel.
Rachel.
It's like, Rachel from Friends. Ross is going to be mad at you. Or
like,
was
for
that,
some reason,
was
I
that
just...
during their break as well?
For some reason, I just can't picture, like, an 1800s guy
yeah.
saying the name Rachel.
Yes. It's but. Like, Ross... cheated on the break, but she was like, that's fine. I was with Andrew Jackson.
I moved into his log block house
yeah.
on 425 acres
uh-huh.
in Tennessee. So the site chosen by Rachel lay in a sheltered meadow that would become the heart of the property for generations. Jackson expanded the complex of cabins and outbuildings and gradually transformed the working farm into a plantation to produce cotton and tobacco. The original Federal-style brick house that visitors see as the core of the Hermitage today dates to construction begun in 1819. Later renovations in the 1830s gave the property its classical lines and columned portico. Over the years, the estate came to include dozens of buildings, tenant and slave cabins, and a working landscape, the full apparatus of the antebellum South.
Nice. Or not nice.
Not great,
not
but
great.
Andrew Jackson's life is inseparable from the property's history. He was a polarizing figure, celebrated by some as a populist hero and reviled by others for his authoritarian tendencies and brutal policies, particularly his role in the removal of native tribes from their land. Jackson managed and expanded the Hermitage over decades, running the plantation and fulfilling the duties of national office from its grounds when he could. After his death in 1845, the house remained in the Jackson family until the late 19th century, when stewardship shifted to the Ladies Hermitage Association.
Ooh.
The LHA. The La Hall,
dude.
And the site was preserved as one of America's earliest house museums. Today, the Hermitage is a national historic landmark, a museum that interprets Jackson's life while also confronting the realities of slavery that made plantation life possible. So any honest telling of the Hermitage has to include the enslaved people whose labor built and sustained the estate, obviously.
Absolutely.
In Jackson's time, the plantation's enslaved population grew from a handful to more than 100 individuals.
That's crazy.
Men, women, and children who worked fields, tended animals.
That's so many people.
100 people?
Yeah, that's a lot of fucking
crazy
people.
They tended animals, maintained the house, and served inside the house. Archaeological work, slave census records, and estate inventories paint a grim but necessary picture. The Hermitage was not a quaint pastoral retreat, but an active plantation in which human lives were commodified.
Yeah, like, this wasn't, like, just a, oh, we got a homestead type
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, it's
not it was
your
like,
country house.
This
it's
was,
a...
like, they were making a shit ton of money. Like, he was making bank off everyone there and shit like that.
Yeah, and they were seeing none of it because they were obviously enslaved. Recent work at the site has also focused on relocating a lost burial ground for enslaved people. In late 2024, the Andrew Jackson Foundation announced the discovery of a slave cemetery on the property, an overdue act in remembering the dead whose graves had been neglected for generations.
Jeepers, creepers, man.
I know. The Hermitage's, say that five times fast.
Hermitage, 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 Hermitage. Hermitage.
The Hermitage's?
Hermitage.
Interpretation
Hermitage.
Increasingly centers the stories on and material culture of the enslaved alongside Jackson's biography. It's important to say plainly that many hauntings and ghost stories circulating around plantation houses originate in the tragedies, violences, and silences of slavery. When people mention restless spirits at the Hermitage, a humane reading of those tales is not to romanticize them as just chills and thrills, but acknowledge the grief and the trauma embedded in the site's history. So the Ladies Hermitage Association, the LAHA, if you will, began opening the site to visitors in the late 1800s, restoring the mansion to a mid-19th century appearance and collecting artifacts.
Whoa.
The house was restored multiple times, furnishings were cataloged, and tours started to draw Nashville residents and pilgrims of presidential history alike.
Pilgrims?
Ah, Pilgrim. Is that John Wayne? Yeah, it's John Wayne.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's John Wayne.
Who's John Wayne? Oh, like the cowboy
the actor.
Guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You ever seen Full Metal Jacket?
No.
No, well, watch it.
Okay, all right.
The Hermitage today operates as both museum and educational center with guided tours, exhibits that discuss Jackson's presidency and policy, and new efforts to reckon more fully with the experiences of the enslaved people who lived and died there. So now we'll get into the ghosts.
Ooh.
Given the weight of history on the site, it's perhaps unsurprising that ghost stories cluster around the Hermitage. Local guides, longtime staff members, paranormal investigators, and visitors have all shared accounts for decades. Footsteps in empty halls, sound of horses' hooves on the drive when no carriage is present, a woman's laughter or weeping, slamming doors, and objects moved without explanation. Some tell of cold spots in particular rooms. Others report unexplained appearances and photographs taken in the house. Paranormal tour operators and local Haunted Nashville blogs catalog dozens of anecdotal incidents. one recurring motif is that of Andrew Jackson himself.
Whoa.
So
AJ's there?
So I read this online, and then I went back to our Washington, D.C. episode.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I swear this sounds familiar.
Sure.
So Andrew Jackson is also reportedly still in the White House.
Whoa, yeah, I remember that.
So I'm wondering now, and I'll ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's like a split spirit situation where like piece of him is at...
Ooh, I like this.
Is at his house and a piece of him is at the White House? Or do you think it's like...
He teleports?
Teleports. So like maybe he spends... He summers in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Or do you think maybe someone's just mistaken and one of those ghosts are someone else?
I think my theory was probably the first one.
Split spirits.
Like he has some energy left there and some energy in the White House. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I would say the same. I would say it's probably like more of a... what's it called? More of a like residual haunting,
yeah,
where it's like the energy is there. It's not necessarily like him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a moment in time or like,
yeah,
I don't know, a piece of him is still there.
I buy that.
Yeah.
I buy that if you're selling it.
Yeah. So that is what I think it is, but I don't know. Sound off,
yeah,
in the comments. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Several accounts suggest that the patriarch's presence is still felt at the Hermitage. A figure seen on the veranda, the impression of a commanding presence in the library, and boots heard on the stair that match an officer's gait. For some visitors, this manifests as this sense of being watched. For others, as a protective presence around his tomb.
Ooh.
Whether these experiences are actual encounters or a psychological response to standing in the same place where a famous formidable man lived, they have become part of the site's modern folklore.
I bet.
There are also stories tied to the servants' spaces and to the grounds where the enslaved people once lived and died. Unverified tales of flickering lanterns near the reconstructed slave cabins, sudden chills in the rooms under the house, and whispers on windless nights are often retold by guides at Halloween events and haunted tours.
Mm.
So I will say, and I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but the only time that I've ever felt any sort of, like, potentially paranormal presence was in a slave cabin in either Virginia, I think it was Virginia, somewhere. I went down with my grandparents, and I was, like, 12 or 13, and we stayed in one of the slave cabins.
Like, overnight?
Yeah.
That sounds...
My grandparents slept on the first floor, and I slept on the second floor.
Terrifying.
And, dude, it just, like, it did not feel
you
good.
Have never brought this up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I can't remember what, like, a state it was on or anything like that. But
gotcha.
Yeah, we stayed in, like, a little slave cabin. Two floors. I slept on the second floor by myself.
By yourself?
By myself.
That's,
I was, like, 12 or 13.
Terrifying, too. Why did you do that?
Because I don't know.
Yeah.
What else was I going to do? But, yeah, dude, it was creepy as shit.
Yeah.
It just felt like someone was watching me all night.
Yeah. I bet, dude.
Like, I could barely sleep. So.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
Also, the cabin, like, the room that I slept in, had, like, 4 or 5 different fly swatters.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, there's just going to be, like, bugs galore in,
yeah,
here. Which, there were a few, but not as bad as I was
Nothing
thinking
crazy.
It would probably be. But, yeah, I don't know. Dude, it was just a creepy-ass experience.
Yeah, that sounds terrifying. You'd probably wake at 6:30, like, all right, I'm good, let's go.
No, deadass, like,
yeah,
as soon as I heard rustling downstairs,
yeah,
I was like, all right, my shit's packed already,
yeah,
like, I'm out of here.
Oh, man, yeah, that's terrifying, dude.
Yeah, I can't remember where I was, so I'm just going to start from wherever. So,
okay.
Unverified tales of flickering lanterns near the reconstructed slave cabins, sudden chills in the rooms under the house, and whispers on windless nights are often retold by guides at Halloween events and haunted tours. Did I read that already?
Yeah, but
yeah,
you're fine.
Recent archaeological findings and the discovery of the slave cemetery have sharpened interest in these narratives, and some descendants and historians have called for respectful commemoration rather than sensationalism. The Hermitage has gradually shifted to interpret these spaces not as haunted attractions alone, but as places of memory and mourning. So,
as they should be.
So this is, this next part is kind of like, it's not necessarily like a ghost thing, but it's more of just like kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So in 1998, a violent tornado tracked through the area.
A tornado flew around my room before he came. Excuse the mess it made. It doesn't rain. Dude, we actually did a pretty good job.
Yeah, that was like, not bad. All the that was not bad.
We might get copyrighted for that.
We might be Frank Ocean.
Yeah. Call me Frankie Osh.
Frank Osh.
Fricoche.
Dude, that's so fricocious.
That's so fricocious.
So in 1998, a violent tornado tracked through the area, toppling thousands of trees on the estate, many planted back in Jackson's day. But it notably missed the house and the tomb.
Whoa.
For staff and the public, the tornado was a physical reminder of fragility and survival. For the storytellers, it added another eerie chapter to the history
absolutely.
Of the house. People who work at and visit the Hermitage often mention that storms and natural disturbances seem to highlight the presence of the past. Branches that fall in patterns like fingers, sound like distant voices.
Whoa, weird.
Or the sudden exposure of old foundations where artifacts come to light.
That's bizarre, dude.
Which I guess would help in like the collection of artifacts for the Lahaw.
Yeah, the Lahaw.
With the poetic connections rather than evidence of the supernatural, they have become part of how visitors experience the site.
Very cool.
So the discovery of the enslaved burial ground, which was announced in late 2024 after ground-penetrating radar surveys and fieldwork, shifted the conversation in profound ways. The unearthing of at least 26 graves and the intent to memorialize the site brings long-suppressed narratives back into public view. It's a reminder that the Hermitage does not belong to Andrew Jackson alone. It's a place shaped by hundreds of unnamed people, their labor, their families, and their deaths. For many, these newly recognized graves are the truest hauntings. The absence of recognition of whole human lives, whose names were not recorded and whose memory was allowed to fade in history. Commemoration efforts include a consultation with descendants, careful archaeological work, and interpretive changes to tours and exhibits that aim to center the lives of the enslaved people. So, I thought that was pretty cool.
I think that's very cool as well. Now, what do you think? Do you think haunted or not?
I mean, I think that especially, I might be biased just given my experience in a slave cabin, but anytime I hear plantation, I just kind of automatically think haunted because of the, like, energy and the sadness and, like, the history there. I feel like there's got to be something lingering, so I will say haunted. How about you?
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yep.
There's a lot of history. It sounds like there was, like, almost like a factory to some extent, and there was just so much energy and sorrow and loss and all that stuff. So yeah, definitely go a haunt for this one.
And I feel like it's only going to get worse as they unearth more graves.
Yeah, absolutely. So cool. All right, you want to reload?
Do you have another slam poetry?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
All right, let's hear it.
So this one is titled Sleepover.
Oh boy.
Yup. It's Friday night, and somehow I'm having a sleepover with Justin Bieber. Yeah, that Justin Bieber. Pop star, heartthrob, and apparently snack enthusiast.
Ooh.
He shows up with a duffel bag full of scented candles, a Bluetooth speaker, and three different types of oat milk. He goes, "Bro, we're gonna vibe tonight." And I'm like, "Justin, We're just watching Netflix, not opening a yoga studio.
Dude, you're Netflix and chilling with Justin Bieber?
He sets the mood anyway. Fairy lights, acoustic guitar, and a playlist called Bieber's Chill Zone, Volume 7. He's in a full set of pajamas that say, believe in yourself across the front. No irony, pure sincerity.
Right.
We start a movie, but halfway through he pauses it and say, you ever think life's like one big remix? I'm just holding a slice of pizza like, bro, please, not during Shrek 2. Later, he tries to start a pillow fight, but he keeps yelling no face shots like it's an arena match. And then he plays Baby on his phone, looks at me dead serious, and goes, you think this still hits? And I say, yeah, man, because it does. It's midnight. We're both singing off key. The snacks are gone, and the candle smells like anxiety and fame. At 2 a.m., he's giving motivational speeches to my dogs, telling him to chase his dreams, no matter the haters. By 3, he's asleep mid-sentence, wrapped in a blanket like a discontinued action figure. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, he's corny. Yeah, he's dramatic. But he's also kind of perfect for a Friday night in. Just a dude in fuzzy socks trying way too hard to make the world a little bit softer. Mic drop. Bieber snores in auto-tune. There you go.
Nice.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So, it's funny. And the reason I did that one is because my location for this Nashville evening is the Capitol Records building.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm guessing that's a record label.
It is. Capitol Records is a prominent Nashville-based label. It is not the famous Hollywood Capitol Tower. But what this building started as was in the early 1900s, around 1900, a wealthy local man named Jacob Schnell built a grand mansion on what is now the corner of West End Ave and Ackland Park Drive in Nashville. According to the various sources, this was said to be once the magnificent home of the period in the city. So, like, this was, like, the home in Nashville during that period of time. Schnell had two daughters, Bertha and Lena Schnell, who lived in the mansion. And it was said that the daughters felt socially excluded, in parentheses, snubbed by the elite community and became increasingly reclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So over time, the mansion deteriorated, and the daughters apparently allowed the house to fall into disrepair. One version of the legend is that after their father's death, the daughters remained in the house but refused to maintain it and eventually both died there in the house. So they just became these kind of recluses that refused to let anyone upkeep the house. Now, from what I found, I think maybe it was like in connection, like they just were kind of not doing well mentally and they didn't want things to change or anything like
that. Sure.
They were just stuck in a rut. At some point during the mid-20th century, the mansion was demolished, and then the site became the building that houses the Nashville branch of Capitol Records. So it is actually the famous Capitol Records at 3322 West End Ave, number 11, with multiple floors and offices. So, employees say the 11th floor, suite 11 to be specific, began reporting unusual events soon after occupancy. Unexplained footsteps in empty corridors, doors locking by themselves, items moved or placed in odd locations, and sudden cold spots, as well as malfunctioning equipment. So, the crazy thing with that is there is obviously so much equipment at a recording studio and like a record. So like they were making actual impacts on production and, you know, money being earned because of these ghosts and stuff like that.
God, that would be so annoying.
Yeah. Jerry.
Dude, I'm just trying to make a song. Can you fuck off?
Taylor's like, teardrops on my... Oh, we're going to have to restart. The ghost unplugged the amp. Oh, man, that's...
And you know we got bad blood. Oh, the ghost is like, shut the fuck up.
Like, no thank you. No thank you on this one. They're like, yeah, for whatever reason, anytime Taylor's at the studio, the ghosts go extra hard. She had to record... It's actually Taylor's version is the third time things were recorded. Scooter's version was the second, and then the first time the ghost absolutely wiped. Oh, man.
The first one's Bertha's version.
Yeah, Bertha's version. Just, and we got back. Or you just hear a ghost in the background go, this fucking sucks. You fucking, ooh, I'm a ghost.
Shut up, you blonde bitch.
Yeah. We are pro Taylor Swift podcast, so like I don't want you guys to think.
We're got nothing against Taylor Swift.
Yeah, no. What's the one that I dislike, though? The, what's the K-pop one? Not a fan of that. It's the only music group that I'm like, I K-pop. Don't get it. The big one.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Not.
Oh, God, who is it?
It's not Big Time Rush. That's what I can only
think of. Definitely not Big Time Rush.
Big Time Silver. It's not K-pop Demon Hunters.
Fuck, it'll...
It's like the big time K-pop thing. They're the only one, but apparently they have crazy fans that, like, go after people that say they're not a fan of it.
BTS.
BTS. Belt to sternum.
Yep.
Just...
That is what that...
What's your sternum?
I don't know.
It's a part of your body, right? Sternum pierce?
Sternum.
Is that your chest? Yeah, it's a sternum rub and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just belt to sternum? They're just like whipping each other?
I was mixing it up with septum.
Yeah, septum would be belt to nose. Belt to septum is someone's just hitting you in the face with a belt. Belt to sternum is someone's just hitting you in the chest with a belt. Which one would hurt more? Probably
face.
Both would hurt.
Face would hurt more.
Just a belt to the sternum. A psychic investigation reportedly found that the 11th floor had a great sense of sadness and that the lingering presence seemed to be associated with the Schnell daughters and their feelings of rejection and destruction of their formerly grand home. So, it is obviously based off that investigation, but people believe that they had such a connection to that home that, like, and they felt like that was their only, like, safe space and stuff like that, that... It being destroyed really left an impact on their spirit and stuff like that.
Right.
Specific reports and encounters are that, you know, producers or like, you know, the underlings would get to the office in the morning after, like, you know, a night and everything would be turned on and all that stuff, like all the production equipment, all that kind of stuff. And then vice versa, where just like, you know how, like, in a power outage when everything just, like, turns off?
Yeah.
It would just only be in specific studios. Like, it wouldn't be everywhere. It's just, like, the power in that one studio would go off.
Yeah, that would be so aggravating back on. As someone who's, like, just trying to do a job.
Well, and especially, too, because it's, like...
And you pay for studio time.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say, like, that shit's not cheap.
Yeah.
Like, they're making... They're charging, like, and, like, yeah, like, that's just, that's crazy. I could not imagine the amount of money that, like, has gone into cleaning up or rectifying, hold on, yeah, baby. Rectifying their, you know, destruction of, you know, things and stuff like that, so.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Lots of free hours.
Yeah, lots of free hours. Bertha's just wiping hours off the deck. Stuff like that. Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, big names that are recorded. Like, Taylor Swift. I think Post Malone. There's been a lot of people that have recorded down in Nashville.
Dude, Ghost Malone was there?
Ghost Malone. Yeah, exactly. Harry Styles recorded an album, or part of an album down there.
Watermelon Sugar action. Yeah.
Watermelon nice. Sugar, Ghost. Hi. Oh. Oh, man. So, yeah, I thought that was crazy. So, I don't know. What do you think? Haunted or not?
I'll go
Huh? How come?
Uh-huh.
I feel like this one like is kind of on the edge for you.
Well, I think that me being a little bit drunker than normal is definitely playing into it. But I also just like the idea of there being a Bertha.
Yeah.
A Bertha around.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
For the vibes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think haunted. I think, like, it was hard to find a lot about kind of their life and the sadness and all that stuff that went into it. But I do think that, like, if they were genuinely, like, reclusive individuals and, like, didn't leave the house and just let everything fall apart around them until they died and then, like, the house got demolished, like, that would leave a lot of energy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Could you imagine just spending all your days in one house and stuff like that?
No.
And, but also shit. Just, like, not having the energy or power to keep it up and just watching it kind of, like, cave in around you and stuff like that. That would freak me the fuck out. So, yeah, no, I'm going haunt, too. So, certified haunt.
Certified haunt.
Certified haunt.
Certified haunt.
Certified haunt. So, hey, that's Nashville. That's Nash Vegas.
I when you texted me and you were like, we should do Nashville, I was like,
I thought we had done it.
I swear we've done it.
Yeah. No, we
did. And then I went back and we hadn't.
No. So,
it's crazy.
I'm glad we did Nashville. So, definitely would be fun to go down there and go ghost hunting again.
Hop one of those.
Go there again.
Hop one of those pedal bars.
Dude, those things can go to.
Woo!
Those things can go right into the river, dude. That is crazy. I hated those.
I think they're kind of funny.
Oh, man. I just.
I wouldn't want to be on one.
No, I would be so nervous that a car would just.
Yeah, just nail you.
Add a couple more ghosts to the city. Like, just absolutely fair. Just ram the shit out of you by accident.
Yeah.
One TikTok is six lives just gone, dude. Oh, man. So, that's Nashville. We love you all. We appreciate any sort of interaction, any comment, like, follow, anything like that. Makes us really happy. So please reach out. Definitely if you want us to cover a city or a specific, you know, location that you've heard about in your town or something like that, you want us to dive into it, we are more than happy to do so. So please, please reach out and let us know. And we're here for you. So.
And again, if you want us to reincorporate the cheers button, we can do that.
Yeah, that'd be fun too. I would enjoy that. So, stay spooky.
We won't do any. We won't do that if people won't let us know to do
it. We won't do it until you tell us to.
So,
all right. We'll stay spooky. We'll see y'all later.
Peace.
Peace.